The singing of the doxology by the PCC student body begins Pensacola Christian College Chapel. At each chapel service, students have an opportunity to receive spiritual exhortation and enrichment during a time of music and meditation on God's Word. This podcast shares selected recent chapel messages from guest speakers, faculty, and staff. Welcome to the PCC Chapel Podcast.
I invite you to take your copy of God's Word and turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter 8. Romans, chapter 8. As you're turning there, I want to share this story with you. A father, passing by his son's bedroom, was astonished to see that the bed was made and everything was picked up. Then he saw an envelope propped up prominently on the pillow. It was addressed, "Dad." With the worst premonition, he opened the envelope and read the letter with trembling hands. This is the letter that his son wrote. "Dear Dad, it is with great regret and sorrow that I'm writing you. I had to elope with my new girlfriend because I wanted to avoid a scene with Mom and you. I've been finding real passion with Helen, and she is so nice. But I knew that you would not approve of her because of all of her piercings, body art, tight clothes, and because she is so much older than I am. But it's not just the passion, Dad. She's pregnant. Helen said that we will be very happy. She owns a trailer out in the woods and has a stack of firewood for the whole winter. We share a dream of having many more children. Don't worry, Dad. I'm 15, and I know how to take care of myself. Someday I'm sure Helen and I will be back to visit, so you can get to know your many grandchildren. Love, your son, Andy. P.S. Dad, none of the above is true. I'm over at Tommy's house. I just wanted to remind you that there are worse things in life than the school report card that's on my desk. I love you, Dad. Please call when it's safe for me to come home. Perspective. Think about that word with me this morning, perspective. John Maxwell commented, "If I could do anything for people, I would help them to change their perceptions, not their problems." Your worst enemy is oftentimes yourself. I want to call your attention today that our outlook influences our outcomes. Every problem contains possibilities. Every obstacle presents opportunities. The difference is in perspective. And I want to challenge you today to allow your faith to inform your focus. The big idea for today's devotional thought, and that's exactly what it is, I'm not going to try to wow you with some kind of homiletical prowess or anything of that nature. I just want to be very down-to-earth, practical, and devotional in my comments this morning. So the big idea that I want to share with you today is that God has a plan behind every problem. Said differently, everything that happens to you and to me has a spiritual purpose. God uses situations and circumstances to shape us into the image of His Son. He employs those same circumstances to cultivate our character. There's not one person here under the sound of my voice this morning that can be vaccinated so as to be immune to pain and suffering. No one gets to travel through life exclusively on Easy Street. Life is filled with a series of complex problems, and all of them are significant in God's plan and preparation for us. Romans 8:28 is our text. You know the verse. It was penned by the Apostle Paul to the people of God who resided in the imperial city. Moreover, this passage is one of the most quoted and, might I add, misquoted verses in the Bible. Consequently, I want to camp here for the next few moments and unpack the meaning of these 25 words. Look with me in your Bibles. The first three words, and we know. And we know. Our hope in troubled times is not found in the power of positive thinking. It's derived from the eternal truths of Scripture that inform us of God's love and God's sovereignty. Yes, God loves us, and He remains in complete control even when the circumstances of our lives seem out of control. We know this. And we know that all things, God has a plan for your life, and it includes all things that happen to you. Both your joys and your sorrows, your pleasures and your pains, your obstacles, your opportunities, your problems and your possibilities. None of our troubles, however, could happen without God either causing them to happen or else allowing them to happen. Because God is sovereign, He is in complete control, and nothing can happen to you or to me as His child that has not first been filtered through His loving hands. Remember Job? And we know that all things work together. The events of your life and mine are not independent experiences. The events of your life and mine are interdependent experiences, woven together to shape our spiritual lives and to cultivate our character. For example, all-purpose flour in and of itself is not a tasty snack. It's disgusting, as are raw eggs, salt, sugar, and oil. Consumed individually, these ingredients are distasteful. However, when these ingredients are mixed together, when they're baked, they can become a delicious cake or cookies. Likewise, when we give all of our distasteful, unpleasant experiences to God, He can and He will blend them together for good. Now notice here, the verse does not say that everything is good. It does not say that. In fact, the very opposite is true. Everything is not good. COVID-19 is not good. Terrorism is not good. Alcoholism, suicide, job loss, a terminal disease is not good. Much of what happens in our world is bad and evil. Moreover, much of what happens to us as individuals and families is not good. That said, God specializes in bringing good out of bad. He specializes in transforming our tragedies, bringing good out of our tragedies. God's plan is always bigger than our problems. Remember Joseph. All things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. This promise is not for everyone. This promise is not for everyone. Everyone does not get a trophy. The promise that I just interpreted for you is only for those who love God. All things work together for good to those who love God. All things do not work together for good to those who live in opposition to God. What's God's purpose? What's God's purpose in my pain? What's God's purpose in my sorrow? What's God's purpose in my grief? What's God's purpose in my struggle? He tells us in verse 29, it's simply to be conformed to the image of His Son. Everything that God permits to happen in your life and mine is for that express purpose. To mold you, to shape me into the likeness of His only Son, Jesus Christ. The Bible asserts that Jesus learned obedience through the things which He suffered. Consequently, we will encounter seasons of difficulty, and it is in those periods of grief and hardship, loneliness and suffering, that God will do His most profound work in your life and in mine. Now, I want to close today with a few life applications. Number one, there ought to be some things you know in life. There ought to be some things you know in life. You ought to have some beliefs. You ought to have some principles. You ought to have some values, truths that provide a foundation for your life so that when the storms of life rage, you remain rock solid, steadfast, and sure. It's the content of your character that will determine the conduct of your life. The second life application I would make is that God has a purpose for your life, and His purpose for you is good. It's not easy, but it is good. Many years ago, a recently retired man was relaxing on his front porch, and he was reflecting on the significance of his life. He pondered, is this all there is to life, sitting on my porch and waiting for my retirement check? As he reflected, he took out a pen and paper, and he began to write down all the things for which he was thankful. And one of the things that he jotted down is that he was extremely grateful for his mother's recipe for fried chicken. Can I get a witness? That thought prompted him to go down to the local restaurant and inquire if he could get a job cooking their chicken. And needless to say, the fried chicken, which consisted of 11 herbs and spices, soon became the most popular item on the menu. Subsequently, he opened up his own restaurant in Kentucky. Then he opened up a chain of restaurants, eventually selling the Kentucky Fried Chicken franchise to a national organization for millions of dollars. And later, he served as their public spokesperson and continued in that role until he died. Learn a lesson from the Colonel. Colonel Sanders, that is. There's much more to life than reaching retirement and collecting a monthly check. Don't settle for success. Press ahead to significance. Success is in the eye of the beholder. Significance is in the eye of the beneficiary. Said differently, success emphasizes self. Significance emphasizes others. So friends, the next time you reach your big paw down into that bucket of KFC, or you simply drive by that franchise, may that finger-licking recipe serve to remind you to be others-oriented. all of us have opportunities to add value to the lives of other people. So let's take advantage of those opportunities, and in so doing, fulfill God's plan and purpose for our lives. First, there ought to be some things that you know in life. Second, God has a purpose for your life, and that purpose is good. Third, when the going gets tough, don't quit. C.S. Lewis observed, God whispers to us in our pleasures. He speaks in our conscience, but He shouts in our pains. It is His megaphone to rouse a deaf world. Remember, God has a purpose behind every problem. Instead of asking why, I encourage you to press on and ask what. What, Lord, are you trying to teach me? When the going gets tough, don't quit. Number four, hear me. What happens outwardly in your life is not as important as what happens inwardly in your life. I think all of us fall into this delusion somewhere in our earthly journey, namely that our biggest struggle lives outside of us, not inside of us. But I'm here to remind you this morning that God's Word teaches that the greatest danger in my life exists in my own heart. Not in the surrounding culture. Not in the stressful circumstances of life. My biggest struggle and your biggest struggle is internal, not external. And finally, I want to encourage you today to transform your troubles by fixing your focus. You see, your outlook in life is not dependent on your circumstances. It's dependent on your focus. Look up. Look up. God will help you see the opportunities amid the obstacles. He will help you to transform your tragedies into triumphs for His glory, for your good. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Nay, in all these things, we're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord.
You've been listening to a message from Pensacola Christian College Chapel. You're welcome to pass this sermon along to others. Please don't charge for it or alter it without written permission from Pensacola Christian College. For additional information about PCC, visit us online at pcci.edu. Pensacola Christian College, empowering Christian leaders to influence the world for Christ.